Okay, so today is the 27th of January, Rosh Chodesh Shvat, 2020, Tav Kuf Pei. Tav Shin Pei. All right. Anyways, so we are, it's been a little while, our delay, but we do have a Musar Day hanging over our heads. We're not going to miss a Musar Day. Yeah, who knows what could happen if we do that. So we have we're in Perek Yud Aleph of Devarim. So the pasuk, one of the more. So this Perek actually is has several very famous psukim in them. One of them, especially because we read Akiv as we're starting to like head into the stretch of the Yom Nuraim. Usually right around Rosh Chodesh Elul is when we are reading Parshas Akiv. So the pasuk there says. Pasuk. No, the wrong parak. That's why I can't find it. No, Ve'eschanan is the week after Tishba.
Akev is the next week, so it's a week after.
The week after Tishba. Okay.
Shabbat is the ninth.
Of course. Yeah. So we're like you're sort of like in that zone. So the pasuk tells us in pasuk Yud Vez, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa. That's the land that Hashem is Doresh. Tamid regularly, Enei Hashem Elokecha ba Mereishis Hashana v'ad Achris Hashana, from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. So the first part of the pasuk of Asher Hashem Elokecha Doresh Osa, that what does that mean? That this is the land that is perfectly suited for Bnei Yisrael. That's Hashem put. What does that mean? So that's I think we did a little bit about that in Meforshim Day. But the Gemara actually makes a comment about the end of the pasuk about Mereishis Hashana v'ad Achris Hashana. So the Gemara tells us in the Seches. Rosh Hashanah, Perek Daf Tezayin Amaveiz, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Shana Sherasha B'tchilasa Mis Ashra B'sofa. That any year that you are Russia, what does it mean, Russia? Russia, so the Gemara, so Rashi understands Russia as being that you're a pauper. She'usin Atzman Russian. That you have made yourself a pauper in the beginning of the year. So any year that you make yourself like a pauper in the beginning of the year, you will be wealthy by the end of the year. Shneamar Mereishis Hashana, as the pasuk says, Mereishis Hashana, Mereishis Ksiv, that it could just it says Mereishis, and it's missing the Aleph to teach you. Usually, Reishis is Bereishis is spelled Beis Reish Aleph. There's a Aleph in there, and here it is missing the Aleph. So what does the missing Aleph come to signify? That you're making yourself a pauper. You make yourself a pauper in the beginning of the year. You will sofa yeshlecha achris. That you will have the arachris until you have achris at the end. Until you actually have wealth at the end, which is also hinted at in a pasuk here. Yeah.
It's not even Russia.
No. No.
What is the word? Rush.
There's a pasuk in Mishlei that he quotes it from, Tachanunim Yidaber Rash, that the poor people offer these. Reish, just Reish Shin, is understood to be poor. Yeah. You know another example off the top of my head? I don't remember. So he quotes a piece from the Granat. Who is the Granat?
The Granat.
No. His mother didn't call him the Granat. His mother called him Naphtali. Have you given away yet? Naphtali Trupp. The Rav Naphtali Trupp was the Rosh Yeshiva in Radin. So who else lived in Radin? The Chavetz Chaim. All right, so Chavetz Chaim was the Rav of the town, and he started a yeshiva there, and the yeshiva in Radin hired the Granat of Naphtali Trupp as being the Rosh Yeshiva there. There's svarim of chidushim that come from the Granat. So the Granat here, this is quoted in the Chidushi Alev. So he quotes from the Granat the following idea, that what does it mean you're going to make yourself, what if you're not poor? Right? The Gemara is saying if you make yourself poor in the beginning of the year, so then you're going to be, then you'll be wealthy at the end. What if you're not poor in the beginning of the year? So he says, maybe you should lie, right?
It's a good thing to make yourself poor, is that what it is?
That's what I'm saying. If you make yourself poor, that's what the Gemara seems to be saying. If you make yourself poor, so let's say, Kol Hashan Sherasha Betchila, actually, not if you make yourself, if you're poor in the beginning of the year, you'll be wealthy at the end. So what's that telling us? So the Granat says it doesn't mean that you're supposed to lie, right? She'ein lefarish. Shenachul adam asher l'shaker ulahatos es atzma shehu ani. So what is it, right? Maybe a wealthy person should say, all right, well, I'll make myself poor. I'll go on the street and start panhandling from people on Erev Yontif, or everybody else is shechtin kaparos, and I'll get a chicken from other people, right? Because I'm going to make myself poor. He says, no, that's not the pshat. Rather, adam ashir lahakir lahargish es. It just means that a wealthy person has to recognize the truth. What is that? That by Rosh Hashanah you really are poor. In what way is one really poor in Rosh Hashanah? Because every year HaKadosh Baruch Hu figures out what a person is going to be wealthy, or whether a person is going to be poor, whether they're going to be wealthy. And even if he was wealthy from the year before, it doesn't mean that he's going to be true in the upcoming year. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges everybody from the beginning. So at the moment that you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are empty, so to speak, right? You're missing. Who knows what's going to be in the upcoming year? So therefore, that's what it means to make yourself poor, to recognize the idea that that nothing is owed to me for the upcoming year. And even if I have a lot in the bank account, there are no guarantees for the upcoming year either. There is a story about one of the Rothschilds that he said to his accountant, I want to figure out, you know, let me know what's my worth, right? A Fortune magazine wants to know what my worth is. So he comes up with some number. He says, nope, that's not it. He says, goes back, comes another thing. No, that's not it. And he says, so how am I supposed to figure it out? He says, look at what I've donated in the last couple of years. Because the only thing that I'm guaranteed of actually having mine are the things that is the amount of money that I've given away. Everything that I have could potentially be lost at any moment. And then he continues on and says, I'll tell you another idea that I heard from Rav David Leibowitz. Now, it's interesting that David Leibowitz, this Chidushim Aleiv or the Chidushim are the talks from Rav Henoch Leibowitz. So it just says Shamanu mi Morenu v'Rabenu Rav David Leibowitz. It doesn't say my father. So it must not be a quote. It must be the Talmidim writing it over or something. Usually it would say, and I heard from my father the following. It doesn't mention the father. It must be either was added in me. I'm not sure if this is exactly things that he said or it's things that like the Talmidim put together from what he said. So anyways, but he quotes an idea from Rav David Leibowitz. Rav David Leibowitz was the founder of the Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva in America. There's all sorts of interesting stories about how he was in Torah Vadas and left and was forced out, so to speak. With the machlokas being, he left, and who was in charge of Rav Torah Vadas? Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz. So, what was the nekudas machlokas? Is the goal of yeshivas in America should it be to produce Rosh Yeshiva or to produce Balabatim? To produce Kasher Balabatim. Shraga Feivel Mendelovitz was that we have to build Balabatim in America. And while Rav David Leibowitz was, no, you build Rosh Yeshiva and the rest will come along. So that's the, in a nutshell, the famous story of Rav David Leibowitz leaving Yeshiva Torah Vadas. Then he went and started his own yeshiva, which became Chafetz Chaim, which now exists with many branches in America, etc., etc. So anyways, he says, just as Rosh Hashanah, we are gozer on a person, bal mikso, if a person has a trade, is he going to be successful in his trade? That's also discussed on Rosh Hashanah. Ki nigzar b'Rosh Hashanah al Rosh Yeshiva im yatziach b'shiurav. It's also established on Rosh Hashanah whether the Rosh Yeshiva will be successful in his shiurim. Why? Because the shiurim of the Rosh Hashanah, that's his parnasa. So a person has to then the Rosh Yeshiva have to daven on Rosh Hashanah for success in being able to give over Torah in the upcoming year to ensure that they have a parnasa to be able to keep going forward. So all that is learned out from this pasuk. So that idea of that the Rosh Yeshiva have to ensure that daven for success in giving over shiurim. So that reminded me actually of the introduction of the Sefer Shemen HaTov. In the Sefer Shemen HaTov, Chilak Dalet. So he quotes, Shemen HaTov was Rabbi Weinberger, Rav Dov Weinberger, or Bernard Weinberger. He was the Rav of the Young Israel of Brooklyn, I believe. Right, Mefnim Rab de Tzir Yisrael de Brooklyn, the rabbi of the Young Israel of Brooklyn, which I believe was the second Young Israel. There was the first Young Israel was in the Lower East Side, and this was the second Young Israel, which was started in Brooklyn, really in Williamsburg. So if one wants to hear stories of him, so I have this book at home, which we've quoted from before, Sukkah Burns in Brooklyn. Right, so it's written by somebody who grew up in Williamsburg during the 40s and 50s and 60s, as the neighborhood really transformed from being sort of a, I don't know, say modern Orthodox or leaning right Orthodox community to all of a sudden to becoming Hasidish, as all the Hasidim moved in. It's a story for another time. So he uses him as one of the examples, that he was sort of a more, that the founding rabbi of the Young Israel of Williamsburg was a little bit more, call it modern, for lack of a better term, and he was already a little more yeshivish. He already moved the things a little bit more to the side. He's also Josh Weinberger, who lives in Lower Merion, right? You know him? So it's his great uncle, right? He's the brother of the father of one of the rabbi's sons. Right? You heard of the Jewish group, the rabbi's sons? One of them is Weinberger. His father was the rabbi, right? Rabbi's sons. So this is his brother. So he's the brother of the... Okay. Anyways.
The five towns.
What?
Isn't there a big Weinberger in the five towns?
There's a lot of big Weinbergers. Oh, but Moshe Weinberg, I mean the rabbi. Yeah. I believe that's a different family. So he grew up in Hillcrest, actually, in my neighborhood. His parents still live in Hillcrest with me. Yeah. So, So I got into that post in the introduction to the Shemana Tov. So he quotes a similar idea that there's a Mesorah from Yisrael Salanter that he was once asked that you know the Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim that they constantly have to be preparing Shirim and Drashas, and somehow like they always have something to say. Right. Somehow they always come up with something. As a balabas, he like asked them, like, I can't come up with anything, but you're able to always come up with shirim. So uv'yichud zeh shayach l'rav v'arsus habris hadorish mi'al habima midi shavz v'shvasu v'afshe in a lov l'chadish gedolos, even though he's not necessarily going to come up with amazing ideas, v'kol makom, he's still going to come up with ideas. Why? And he's still able to come up with all these ideas. So Rav Yisrael Salanter responded by saying, hadavar pashim mod, it's very simple. The chol zman shehu mishamish b'tor Rosh Yeshiva, so long as he's a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rav, u'mekabel schar pu'ulaso, and he's being paid for his services, havizeh b'geder parnasa. Right? So that's his parnasa, that's his job. V'nishlach lo min ha-shamayim, and therefore he's taken care of from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But if he says, just wants to say something on his own, v'al kishalom id la'atzmo, havizeh b'geder yira shamayim. Then he's just learning b'yira shamayim, and what's the rule of Maseches Brachos? Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz b'yira shamayim. Everything comes from Hashem except for yira shamayim. So when a person is trying to learn on their own, so they're learning off of yira shamayim. If it's yira shamayim, then they're on their own. They got to come up with it by themselves. But if they're learning for a job, or they got to speak for a job, they have to come up with the drashos or shirim for a job, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends them to you. So he actually continues on and says, so for many years I was a rabbi and I had to constantly get up and speak, and now I'm retired. So I moved, I'm now in another shul, and they asked me to speak every once in a while, and I'm trying to always come up with things, and I found with much, you know, like the only reason they asked me is because they know that I'm an old rabbi, so they asked me, but I, you know, there's many young Tamidi Chacham, etc., but you know, it takes me time, but these are the things that, this is actually, these are the things that I've come up with in my new position in retirement. So my humble opinion, I have most of the volumes of the Shemana Tov. Chelek Dalet I've always found to be have the best material, that at least the most usable material that I've been able to work with. Anyways, it's now a piece from the Shemana Tov. With the same idea, right? That if you're in the business of Torah, so then you have to daven for success in business, right? And that business is then going to equal Torah. So there is also in this parak, he quotes the following. The pasuk tells us. And pasuk chaf beis, perek yirah pasuk chaf beis, ki im shamor tishmarun es kol mitzvah hazos, that you're going to observe all this mitzvah, sher nolchi mitzvah eschem yom eschem la'asosa, that I'm commanding you to do, li'avas Hashem elokeichem, to love Hashem, la'lechet b'chol dvarachav u'davka bo, to go in all of His ways and to cleave to Him. Okay, right, to go and follow Hashem and follow in all His ways and to cleave to Him. So Rashi makes a comment, u'davka bo. Efshar lo markein, he says, how can we say this? V'halo ish ochlahu. But Hashem is compared, or is described as an all-consuming fire. Right? So how can you say cleave to Hashem? Hashem is an all-consuming fire. If you try to cleave to Hashem, you're going to get burnt. Right? So Ella says Rashi, he dabik betamidim uvechachamim umalini alecha kilu nidvachasbo. Rather, you should try to connect to the tamidim and the chachamim, and I'll consider it as if you are connecting to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? So that is that's simple enough. Right? I think you've heard that shot before. The problem is, he points out, is that a very similar line appears. That's in Rashi, by the way. Right? So a very similar statement appeared in the previous parak. In the previous parak, parak yud pasuk chaf, it says, "As Hashem elokacha tiro, so as Hashem elokacha tiro, that you should fear Hashem, oso savot, serve Hashem, uvo tidbak, and cleave to Him, uvishmo tishaveya, and in His name you should, in His name you will swear." And Rashi there doesn't make any comment about dveikus to Hashem. Meaning this Gemara, the idea of connecting to Hashem, why is it only appearing in the second sentence, in the second parak, when it should appear the first time it appears? The idea of, you know, it could have described it a parak earlier. So this question is asked of the is asked by the Sifsei Chacham. The Sifsei Chachamim, in his commentary on the Rashi, points that out. And he says that in the second, in Perek Yud Aleph, what we're reading, it doesn't just say Uldafka Bo, but it also says La Leches Mechol Derachav, to go in all of Hashem's ways. Right, that, and what does that mean, to go in all of His ways? Right, so Rashi there says also, Hu rachum v'yatatei rachum, that He's merciful, so you should be merciful. Hu gomel chasadim, v'yata gomel chasadim, that He does kindnesses, and therefore you should do kindnesses also. So, so what does it mean to so if that's the case, so then what does it mean to connect to Hashem? Meaning, if you've already described the way to go to connect to Hashem, to follow Hashem, what does it mean to connect to Him? So therefore, you then have to explain. Oh, and that means to connect and cleave to Talmidei Chachamim as well. Meaning, do the chasadim, and also make sure that you connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. Okay, so he, however, the Shemen HaTov, gives his own interesting pshat. He says, if it wasn't for the Sifsei Chachamim, I would think that the psukim are actually talking about different things. Because in pasuk, in the first time around, what is it talking about? Es Hashem Elokecha tira oso savod. You should fear Hashem, you should serve Hashem, and connect to Hashem, and swear in His name. So what is that? What is the subject of that pasuk? What is the main theme of that pasuk? Again, Hashem you should fear, you should serve, you should connect, or cleave, and you should swear in His name.
Swear in His name?
Yeah, uvishmo tishaveya. You should swear. When you swear, you would give oath in His name. So leave that out. Leave that out for now. But the first ones, right? Is that what is the theme of those of that?
Do the mitzvos.
Do the mitzvos. Why?
Because of
fear of Hashem, right? Hashem Elokecha tira, fear Him and serve Him, and thereby connect to Hashem.
Does love come in?
Ah, what's in our parak though? In parak Yud Aleph, Kim Shamor Tishmun, that you'll observe all the mitzvos which I'm commanding. Liavos Hashem Elokechem, to love Hashem, right? Laleches b'chol derachav uladaf gavo, and therefore to go in all of His ways and to connect to Him. So therefore, how does one ultimately reach a level of dveikus, if that's what we're attempting to achieve? So the description of dveikus is then going to be more applicable to the mitzvos ase version rather than the mitzvos lot ase version. That dveikus is going to emanate out of avas Hashem rather than out of yiras Hashem. Now, I think on the last parak, we had a discussion about the avas Hashem versus yiras Hashem, which comes first and which comes second, and it seems like the Rambam has flipped. So you can go back on Y Torah from a couple, I think I uploaded that already. You can go back on Y Torah to understand the avas Hashem versus yiras Hashem dynamic. But what's he pointing out here? That the idea of cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come through positive mitzvahs and going to come through ava rather than through Yira, right? Al dveikus habami avahu lehefach. The haynu haratzun v'hashiifa liyiskar v'yosef v'yosef akdei lechos kiviyochel Hashem atzmo v'chein shapir. Right, that you're going to have a desire to become closer to Hashem more and more, and therefore l'chein shapir shayech lahakshus v'alo eish ochla. Therefore, she asked, but Hashem is in all fiery. How shouldn't we be concerned about that? So then the answer is going to be, yeah, you're not actually physically going to be touching Hashem, rather you, right, which by the way is the same thing, right, the children of Aaron got in trouble for that, right, they're trying to come too close to Hashem, right, so rather, it's not going to be coming too close to Hashem, rather it's going to be in the form of being close to Talmidei Chachamim after doing Gemilas Chasadim, etc. Then he goes and takes it one step further, because he says, actually, the same idea appears two prakim from now. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Hey. It says, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilecha, you will follow Hashem, Vosoti Ro, and there'll be Yira there also, V'yas Mitzvos Tishmeru, but you'll also do Mitzvos, Uvakalu, Yeah, by the way, he adds in, on this previous thing, he adds in one more idea. He says, by the way, that's the idea of ase docha lo tase. Right? There's a rule, actually two rules that some at first glance seem contradictory. There's on one hand, we say ase docha lo tase, that positive mitzvahs beat out negative mitzvahs. Right? You've heard, right? Where does that come up? Classic example of that coming up, although this is not really the best example to use, yibum. Right? Yibum is, you're not allowed to marry your... a woman is not allowed to marry her husband's brother, but in the case where the husband didn't have any children, so then she's commanded to. So, how is that allowed? So, ase docha lo tase, the positive mitzvah of yibum outdoes the prohibition of her being with him. It's not the best example because the Torah explicitly says you should do it. There are other examples that perhaps are better, which the Gemara gets into in the beginning of Maseches Yevamos. Right? That's a rule, ase docha lo tase. But there's also another idea of mitzvah haba bi'avera. Right, that if you have a mitzvah that emanates out of Aveira, that's a problem. Right, if I'm only being Yotzei Lulav Hagazel, if I'm only being Yotzei my Lulav because I stole the Lulav, that's a mitzvah, although also the Gemara has a discussion, but that's a mitzvah haba bi'Aveira. Right, so how do you work those two out? Right, when's the mitzvah ase docha lo tase versus when's the mitzvah haba bi'Aveira for another time? But how is that possible? Why would I say ase docha lo tase? So the Ramban explains that ase comes by ava, as opposed to lotases are coming from a form of yira. And ava beats out yira, therefore ase is going to be docha a lotase. The power of love is going to outdo the power of lotase. Actually, interesting, I listened to Rav Moshe Weinberg on Friday while I was getting ready for Shabbos, so he gave a talk about shovavim. Have we ever, you know what shovavim is? We're in the period right now. Shovavim. What's shovavim? So shovavim is an acronym for shmos ve'era bo b'shalach yisro mishpatim. Shovavim. Right, and there's a minhag during this time of year that people might fast a little bit more, but it's to focus on specifically mitzvos having to do with intimacy and morality and things like that. Right, shmiras einayim, watching one's eyes, and often you'll see people give. I think the Kol is doing a taras hamishmacha review. Right? Those kinds of mitzvos, people there's ideas to focus on that during this period of the year. So he. He just had so his discussion focused on that. Well, how is it different than the Yom Narayim? So he said, and Shovim is not found in any. I don't think it's found in the Gemara at all. It's not. It's all a later idea, more of a. You know, so what's the source of it? What's the connection to Hashem that's going to come through it? So he suggested that during the Yom Narayim, it is a forced tshuva. You have to sort of. There's a couple things that you have to do. Right, and you go through and you do it. Right? Shovim is you're doing it because you want to do it. And he put it within the context of a marriage that he describes the couples come to his office and the complaint, right? And when a couple gets married, so what's the obligations? The obligations are written in the ksuva, right? These are the things that a man has to do for his wife. He has to provide her this, he has to provide that, he has to take care of all those things. Right? But usually, he says, when they come to his office, they're not, he says, never has a couple appear before me in my office with the woman complaining that, you know, he's not providing enough for me. It's always other things. It's always things that are not written in the ksuva. It's always, you know, it's not, or not, we don't have the intimate, you know, the same levels of connectivity that we always did, and those kinds of things, right? So right, that the love that's supposed to come is often going to come from things that are not required, right? Those are often things that require our focus as well. So, anyways, that's the Ava versus Yira things. Then he quotes one more idea that there's another pasuk. There's a pasuk in two prakim from now where it says the same line. Acharei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu V'yosoti Rau V'yosmosav Tishmaru Uvakalu Tishmau V'yosotavod Uvotid Bekun. And him you will serve and him you will cleave to. And Rashi there says, he quotes from a Gemara Masecha Sota, that you're going to follow in his ways. Gemul Chasadim, right? You'll be kind. You'll bury the dead, you'll visit the sick, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and the Gemara there quotes sources for HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing all these things, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, Hashem visited Avram, right, so there says Hashem visited Avram, so therefore we're going to follow Hashem. So he says that, he points out that Rashi, when he talks about that, he doesn't, when that description of how you do that is not on the words of Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu. Meaning, I would say, if I'm doing the things, if I'm copying the things that Hashem does, I would focus on the first part of the pasuk where it says to follow Hashem. But rather, Rashi's quote of that is under the Hidavik Bidrachav, that you're going to follow in his Uvot Tidbukun. Those mitzvos are connected to Uvot Tidbukun. So, I mean, and that's how what is going to follow in Hashem, right? That is it really, that's how one is going to follow in Hashem's ways. So Rav Aaron Cutler asks that even though you could say, okay, that, you know, we're gonna, that's what it means, but it doesn't have the Hidavik B'Tamidim Chachamim over there. Rather, that's where he invokes the, you're going to stick to Hashem, follow Hashem in his midos. Okay, but he asks, If I'm going to talk about dveikus to Hashem, right? When we think about dveikus, this concept of dveikus, being one with Hashem, what do we envision? A person who's really good at dveikus, what do we envision?
The connection?
Yeah. Yeah. What do we envision? What kind of person do we envision as that? The guy who meditates, the guy who davens. And he points out that's not what's being described here. The way that the pasuk describes being dveikus to Hashem are all mitzvos ben adam lechaveru, are all mitzvos between man and man. And he explains because that really is the way in following in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem created the world. Hashem didn't create, right? The descriptions of Hashem's presence in this world is not a description of Hashem shaking a lulav, blowing shofar, and davening, right? Descriptions of Hashem's presence in this world is doing gemilas chasadim, doing kindness on behalf of other people. So if one is really going to try to be medavik to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, say, A, stick to Tamid Chachamim as our pasuk recorded, but B, the next form is to be doing kindness, to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. How is one going to most strongly emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu? By doing kindness, by doing chasadim, by taking care of other people. This is not to push down the mitzvahs of Adam Lemakum. That's also obviously important, but often that's usually the ones that we think of first. But Tzveikus to Hashem is certainly also, one also comes to that by way of these, by way of mitzvos ben adam al chaveru as well. All right, out of time here. One more thing to focus on, but that's okay. We'll save it for another time. All right, have a good day.